It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Brianna?
Yes, this is Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. You're in sunny Arizona.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we're actually, we live up in the mountains, like northeast of Phoenix, so about 180 miles. So we do get four mild seasons, but not we don't get the intense heat that we used to get when we lived down by Phoenix.
Well, that must be nice, though, because the heat out there is different than, because I'm East Coast.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, my wife and I, and but we've been out here for, just over 30 years now, but, you know, when they say it's a dry heat, I'm like, yeah, but so isn't putting your head in the oven. It's hot,
yeah.
but, you know, up here, it's actually, like I said, it'll hit 100 degrees, but it's like a heat wave. But it's normally, it's way, I don't know, I love it out here. It's four mild seasons, and it's definitely high desert, but it's just very peaceful. So,
well,
yeah.
So hold on. So how did you guys, I'm assuming you grew up, you were born and raised in Massachusetts, and then you just, how did you end up in Arizona?
Well, we got married when we were 19, and then we had a kid, and then we moved to, like, southern Massachusetts, and then we always wanted to move to Maine, and then we moved to Maine after two and a half years, and then we lived there for 6 years, and then I come home from work one day. I always worked outside and stuff, and I come home from work, and my wife says, what do you think about moving to a warmer climate? And I'm like, just pick a place. So she picked between New Mexico, Farmington, New Mexico, and Apache Junction, Arizona, and the economy was just, you know, we figure if we're going to stand a chance, we got to at least move to a place that has a pretty good economy, so that's why we picked Arizona. So, but it was back in like I want to say like 89-ish, maybe later, early 90s, right around 1990.
Yeah. So, and you just never looked back.
It was hard at first. You know, couple of years were rough because we knew, we just talked about the other day, we knew we had to at least stick through it with it because we knew that, you know, right about a year into it, you start really missing family. But I love New England in the fall, and there's great times there. But and I always consider it home. But man, the winters are just too long. They just were too long. I mean, it's sunny out here. They laughed at us when we used to come out and we had, you know, horses, and we were used to have to do this fun family horse shows and stuff. And they'd tell us the date, and we go, we'd say, when's the rain date? And they look at us and they go, what's a rain date? I'm like, what if it rains? They're like, it's not going to rain. I'm like, and they were right. It's like, they don't get the rain that you get back in New England, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's like you just said, animals is hard when you think about the whole weather perspective and all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys did, you grew up around horses and all that kind of stuff, and
I'm one of five siblings, one of six kids, but we'd go camping, and my parents would take us out, like, you know, the rental horses. It was like $10 for an hour, and she'd rent and just stick us on a horse, and we'd just head out on these trails and stuff. So, I mean, I did that way, but I wasn't raised with horses, but, you know, with dogs and cats and stuff, but no horses.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got married, we were about 22-ish, when my wife wanted to get a horse. She's been around horses, and so she got her first horse when she was like 22-ish, when we lived in Maine.
Yeah.
And then, when we moved out here, we brought, you know, we have more horses now than we did then, but we brought our two horses with us when we moved out here. So, yeah, it was like the Beverly Hillbillies heading west. We had the horses, and we had chickens, you name it. We had them packed in our trailers, and they were family, you know. So
Yeah, of course.
It was quite an adventure. It's 2,800 miles. It's quite a drive. It's a long drive, let's put it that way. Very long drive.
I had another episode with another lady. She moved, like, her entire barn, like, you know, 10, I think it was 10 or 15 horses, like, across states. It's not fun. It's just,
yeah. Well, it's mostly because you're just going from point A. You're going from point A to Z. You know, there's no stopping.
Yeah.
It's like the horses can't do it. And then in back in '98, we got, you know, my wife's my father-in-law passed away, and my dad had, you know, sickness and stuff. He had some strokes and stuff, and my niece wound up getting leukemia. They found out while we were back there, but we moved back for 1 year, not because of any reason except we were homesick, and. So my niece came, and my sister and her two daughters, she has four children, but the two youngest came and stayed with us for the summer because her hair had come out and she was embarrassed, and so she just stayed with us for the summer. And
yeah.
We only lived there almost like a year to the day almost. Like I just, after winter hit, you know, we hit January, and I was like, what was I thinking? So we packed everything up again and drove all the way back out. At that time we had two miniature goats. We had horses, and we had like, it was... The truckers would stay clear of us. I'd see all the crap tied all over the trailers trying to travel out, you know. So it was interesting. But we did it. But we come out. We actually drove out here twice.
Holy
and it
cow.
Was, well, what was interesting was if someone asked me, like, when was my spiritual journey began, I would say it probably at that point. Like, I didn't know what was going on prior to that. But literally we had visitations and stuff that was kind of scary. Like, weird stuff had happened. And
that's what I was going to ask you. When I was going to ask you this very question, like, when did it dawn on you that you had like a gift? Like, when did it just hit you? Like, I'm different than everybody else.
Well, it was interesting. It was when we came back out the second time. I just had this really bad drive, and even the company I worked for said they'd pay for the trip to hire, you know, they'd pay for everything to move me back out there, the family. So, so it was definitely an invitation to come back. And we weren't back I don't know how long we were back. We were living in a camper in our friend's backyard because our house didn't sell yet. But I had already learned how to shoe horses before we moved back, you know, and I was shoeing my own horses, and I was working in a radiator shop, automotive radiator and stuff. And when I come back out here, it's kind of a long, long story, but we wound up, the lady that I apprenticed with, I wound up shoeing with her again. I guess you want more detail, I'll give it to you. But so when I came back out, the woman that taught me how to shoe kept telling us, you need to talk to this lady. You have her bring your horses over, you know, go bring your horses to her. She communicates with animals. And I love telling people this part because it tells you where I was at, like, you know, mentally and like being open to spirituality and, you know, all anything, really. I was just like, so I thought it was a joke. I was like, okay, so, I mean, I know animals think. They're not fence posts, but I didn't know how deep that ran. I thought they'd be like, well, water is wet, I like grass, the sky is blue, kind of stuff like that, just simple things. And so what happened was we got into our house, and we were living there for I don't know how many months, when there was some mastiffs that used to get loose down the street that really never bothered anybody. They just got loose and stuff. And one morning we got up, and we had a stallion and three geldings at the time. And we come out in the morning, and the stallion and my gelding was there, and the other two geldings were gone. And so we went out and tracked them, and you could see where we had a hot wire for the horses in the back property, and it's an irrigation ditch. It's a concrete ditch. It's about 3 feet deep and 3 feet wide. And you could see where a big dog had jumped through the fence and chased the horses around, and the two of them jumped across the ditch and took off down the road, down a dirt road.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so at that point, though, you know, it's funny. At this point, I would say, here's how our angels and everybody talks to us. We have these ideas that we think we're brilliant. We're like, I know, and that's what I did. I'm like, I know, let's bring the horses to this animal communicator and see if she picks up on this, because that is a big deal. And so I was working as a diesel mechanic at that time, my wife brought the horses to her, and Helene, the lady's name was, she spoke to the horses, and she nailed it. My wife came home shocked. She was like, she said that the dog jumped through the fence, pulled the fence into the yard, chased the horses around. The stallion was in his own pen anyways, but the older gelding knew it would be safe by the house, and he came up to the house in the pen, and the other two jumped across the ditch and took off down the road, and I was shocked. I was like, what? So my wife wanted to learn how to do this, so she asked her if she taught classes, and she did. So my wife went to a couple of classes, and just, I don't know, it was a long story, but she was like, I don't really want to go anymore. I was just going to, you know, I don't know, just didn't work out. So so I got switched on to day shift at that time. It was a long story. I got shifted around in this company a lot. So I got shifted, put onto the day shift, and I was available to go at that, you know, because the evenings, these classes. So I'm like, I'd love to go. So we decided to go again. Well, my wife did, and I went with her, obviously. And so when, cool. But when she described how animals communicate with us, I started putting together the things that was happening to me. And what was happening to me prior to this was I would be sitting there and having a conversation with someone, and say you have your dad's cell phone. I'm not, I don't want to say you, but say a friend of mine had their dad's cell phone, and, you know, and he's passed. And what would happen was while I was talking to him, I was seeing a cell phone. I kept seeing like one like in front of me, and I didn't know what it was, and I kept thinking, I need to concentrate more. I don't know what's going on in my brain. I'm like, I was afraid it was like Alzheimer's or some weird dementia thing going on in my head, because I'm like, I'm seeing things that aren't there that I'm like, I couldn't explain it. But when we talked at that class, she started explaining how animals communicate, and it was exactly how I was seeing things. And it was like, I tell you, it was like someone answered the meaning of life for me. It was that big. I was like, I could not believe that was happening with me. I just was shocked. And literally, that was in the fall. So within a few months, this all happened to me. Like, my ears ring like crazy lately. And they're like, oh, I love the way they didn't lead me. They said, oh, that's just high energy. That's just high energy in the air. And so, you know, the stuff going on in the world or whatever. And I'm like, okay. So the next time I'm like, I'm still hearing it. And I wasn't really buying what they were saying, because I'm like, it doesn't make sense. Like, this is like ringing like it hurts, like I just shot a gun ringing. And so Christmas morning, I was laying there in bed, and my ear started ringing. They, you know, when I went, and the last time I told them about my ear ringing, they told me, okay, next time just ask for a blessing, cleanse the area, make sure it's just heavenly angels around, and ask who it is. So I did that Christmas morning, and I hear this, like, it's more like a thought, but I hear that he's Malachi from the Golden White Light. So I don't read the Bible. I'm thinking this guy is some Hawaiian guy. My wife and I are giggling, going, why is some Hawaiian guy coming to me, like, in a grass skirt? I don't get this, you know, like, it doesn't, whatever. So I asked this Hawaiian guy what he wanted, and he said, I need you to go to the police with the detectives about this missing girl that was abducted and murdered, and I need you to tell him who did it, where he lives, all this information. And I was like, well, they're either going to lock me up because I'm cuckoo, or I'm going to tell them stuff that makes sense, you know. So anyways, I did it. It was a lot to go. And I call them breadcrumbs. You get all these little breadcrumbs, like the 7-Up
can.
Well, wait.
Did you go to the police station with the information?
Yeah, I actually called them. I said, I'd like to come in and talk to you about something, about Mikkel, I can't say her name, about this girl that's missing. And yeah. So they said, sure. So I go in, and they lead me up to this room, and they sit like, I know how people line you up so they can take you out if you're about to do something wrong. And they're like, lined me up, and they go, do you mind if I record this? And I'm like, oh boy, this just got real. And so I told them all the stuff that I knew, and I said, I know it sounds crazy. And I said, but if I heard myself say this a year or two ago, I would go see help, because this is just off the charts for me. I what I basically was saying is, I understand if you think this is very weird. It's weird to me,
right,
too. And they were like, okay, and I
but
just told them.
But consciously, like, morally, you had to say something. I mean, like, I would. Like,
yeah.
I would have had to put aside the whole, they might think I'm crazy, and go, look, I just got to do this, so it's
yeah.
fine.
Well, there's also this drive that comes with it. Like, when I'm supposed to message someone or get a hold of them, there's this drive that comes through. It doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'll stop and message that person. I mean, I could go on and on. Like, I'm making breakfast one morning, and I see a paperclip floating in front of me, and I'm like, okay. Who's
well,
this?
Wait. Back to the police station and the missing girl.
Sorry,
help?
Yes.
Did you help them? Did they find her?
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes and no. I knew they wouldn't, because I told them this guy moves the body. But when I went to them, they told me it's a long story short. But they said out of 6,500 leads, I described who they believe did it and where he lives. So, but I was shocked. I mean, to me, whenever they said that, I described who did it and where he lived, and there was a bunch of other stuff. It was back in 1999, so it was a long time ago. But it's, you know, I've found that it's like a torch race. I run with the torch for a certain amount of time. I hand it off to the next person. I don't know. I really never looked into it. I could Google it, I guess. I know her name and stuff, but I don't think they ever found her. I don't think they ever found her remains. But it was horrifying, you know. So, but I dealing with a few of them, I was like, I basically, you can ask, like when I get stuff, I can ask, I can use filters, I call them. I can say, okay, I love helping people. I've dealt with a lot of missing people, missing animals. And it's weird. It's hit and miss with that, too. It's like I've had an elderly couple. Like, he was like 93. She was like 89. The person called me, and I said, well, which one of them has dementia? And she said, neither one of them. I said, someone has dementia. I could pick up on it right away. What happens is I get dizzy and delirious, and just my head starts spinning. And they messaged me later, and they said, we didn't know it, but he has dementia. He left his medication on the table. And I told them it was literally the exact 180 of where they were. They wanted to pass, and they didn't want anybody to find them, so you don't. I've found that when there's a missing person that is on purpose hiding, you know, their energy, like not like someone's kidnapped them, but when a person is missing and wants to be missing, you can't find them. It's like a house of mirrors, and it's literally God saying, leave them alone,
well,
there's other things going on.
Has it taken you time to learn what these messages are? Like
yes.
When they come through, you've had to try to figure out what they are. Is it consistent with each thing every time? So, like, if you see the paperclip, does it mean a certain thing every single time?
No, that the paperclip was funny because it was literally a person I know in Texas, and I just said, "Hey, and here's how it happens." Like, it's funny when you start explaining it, you break it down, you realize what's happening, the process. It happens in a millisecond. So, literally, what happens is picture like this happened in a fraction of a second. An angel comes to you, you feel it's an angel, you know it's an energy, that's a heavenly energy, because I've always asked for my blessing, and I only want to deal with heavenly angels, that's it. So what happens is, an angel comes, you know it's an angel, then you break it down. It's a male, it's an older male, it's a father energy, and he wants me to message this person, he directs me right to him. So I put everything down, I'm cooking breakfast, I text her and said, hey, your dad's here, and he's showing me a paperclip. And she's sends back, ha ha ha, well, I'm sitting at my desk, and I can't find a paperclip to save my life. So that's a validation, I call them. A validation is when I do readings for humans, or animals different, but for people that are past. First, I always ask Jesus for a blessing to cleanse the area, make sure it's just heavenly angels around, and also to help me interpret what they're coming through with. But when they come through, I ask them to come through with things that you've seen, said, done, anything in the last 2 weeks, and I call them a validation. It's validating that they're with you. And it can be anything. Like if I tried to write a book on how loved ones come through, It would change every time. For the longest time, they'd show me a toaster. I'd be like, did you buy a toaster? And they're like, no. I'm like, did you clean a toaster? Like, no. Did you move a toaster? No. Did you just have a talk about a toaster? There's something with a toaster. And they're like, no, I could not get it. After about five of them, you know, when frustration doesn't help, you have to stay, I call a neutral place. You just go to the neutral place. Otherwise, frustration doesn't help. So when I was quiet in my mind and I wasn't frustrated, I said, what's up with the toaster, guys? And I saw two champagne glasses tapping, going clink. And I go, you mean toast, like anniversary toast? And I'm like, why didn't you just say toaster? Show me two glasses. Like, it would have been a lot easier, you know? But see, it left an impression, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember it clearly now. I'm like, they can show me a toaster or two glasses, or I'll just get an anniversary. I picture, like, our lives. And animals, too, I do this. It's funny. Doing this is like, picture like you're in the same house, but it's like two different rooms. It would be like loved ones in one room, animals in the other. And then this almost like an extension to the animal room would be animals that are passed. Animals that are passed, I have a hard time picking up whether they're passed or not because they're still in the herd with us. Like the one woman, the horse came through, and I said, I want to talk about the sorrel horse with the white patch, like a baseball-sized patch on its left hip. And she goes, I don't have a mare like that. And you could tell she was kind of like, that doesn't make sense. And then all of a sudden she started crying, and she said, I went to the world finals. She's a mounted shooter. She said, I went to the world finals on that horse. That was the best horse I ever had. She's passed. And I'm like, well, it's in the same herd. I just see him because I was raised Catholic, and I believed that – I don't know if they taught this or I just walked away with this but knowledge, but I believed that heaven was this faraway place, and that if you are lucky and God said you are worthy, then you get to see them again. And now I don't believe any of that. I'm not that I'm going against the religion, but I'm just saying I believe the way you get – more spiritual and become closer to our creator and stuff is understanding and putting between lines like this. If you see God sitting up on a judge's desk with a gavel and, you know, judging you, it's going to be hard to be close to him. You know, it's going to be like, well, he's judging me. He doesn't even know what it's like to be human.
Right.
Or if you see him walking among us, being a pal with us, it's easier to say, hey, he knows me. He's cool. So,
So wait a second. Now, as far as the animals and humans are concerned, you can't control what tries to contact you. So you, let's say, like, because you have, I know you said you had readings, like, was scheduled out for people and stuff like that. And let's say you talk to somebody and it's supposed to be a reading for a person. Can you can't necessarily control whether you talk to a person or an animal, right?
No, you can. It's not really controlling. It's like, I'm very cautious in the words. I'm not trying to correct you. But it's all in the wording. So basically, what I found was, again, in the religion part, was it's a sin to try to talk to them or communicate with them or any of this. And I'm like, I found that, yeah, but they're trying to talk to us. They want us to be okay. They want us to know that they're fine and they're with us and they want us to be happy and smile. So, yes, what happens is picture your loved ones, this is the best way I can describe it, it's a human thing, but picture your angels being 2 feet tall around you or like a light bulb. Say, let's just say they're 5 watts. So they're always around us. They're just not, like, high energy. So then you say, I would like to hear from Dad. And as soon as you say that, Dad's energy goes to a 100-watt light bulb. And at that point, it's just a matter of what they want to say. So with animals, I had a guy with 100 horses. Now, these are in their body. These aren't past. But in the animal, he had 100 horses, and he wanted to talk to a specific one. And all I need to know is picture like a bubble around every living being's soul. Whether they're in their body or out of their body, there's a bubble around their soul. And in that bubble, I call the human fingerprint. And the human fingerprint is like that angel that came with a paperclip. So picture the angel coming as an energy. Oh, great. He's an energy. And it's like, I feel a great heavenly energy around me. But inside that bubble is the father energy, my friend's father energy. You know, it can have his age. It can have his month that he was passed. It can have same thing with her. Like, he could come through and send, like, talk about, like, oh, what's the 12th month? What's December to you? Oh, that's the month that he passed or her birthday. So same thing with animals. So I just say, how old, what color, and what gender, and it separates them.
Oh, no. Okay, so you're saying, like, with the animals, if they have a so they can give you a different energy, a mom energy,
yep,
when it comes to the person that they're talking about, or dad,
yes,
energy, or
yep,
equal,
yep,
energy. That's cool.
Yes.
I didn't know,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like a horse comes through, and like I've had a person, and I love when they try to trick me. I've had people go, I want you to talk to this horse. And I go, this horse doesn't call you mom, doesn't call you anything. Whose horse is this? And they're like, it's not mine. So the horse can say, like, I'm dad's horse. And I'm like, oh, this isn't your horse, or a man's horse, you know. And I even laugh when people go, no, this is my horse. And I'm like, no, this is a man's horse. It's like, well, it's my husband's horse, but I ride him. So this one horse said, mom lost weight. And she said, I did, and she giggles. So, like, there's this, like, pause, like Jeopardy song. I always laugh and go, like, it's this long pause. And then he goes, she weighs 122 pounds. And the lady says, I do. Now, I thought she was joking at that point. So I'm laughing. And I go, you're serious? And she goes, yes, I weigh 122 pounds. And I said, how does he know that? Did you tell him this? And she said, no. She giggled because, like, that was silly, you know. I'm like, did you have a scale in the barn? And, like, he saw the scale? Did you tell someone in the barn? She's like, no. So how does he know she weighs 122 pounds? So I've boiled that down to when we have a true connection with our animal, not only, like, I call, it's not me reading minds, it is kind of, like, I call it looking into their Rolodex of life experiences. They can look into ours, too, because that same horse, another reading a year later or so, the horse said, Mom bought me a new bridle. And she said, I did, but he hasn't seen it yet. And he goes, yes, I have. You were at the store, and you had a dark leather one in your right hand and a light leather one in your left hand, and I told you I wanted the dark one, so you put the one down in your left hand, and you bought the one in your right hand. And she goes, that's exactly what happened. So then I giggled and said, so whose idea was it to buy it then? Like, so, but I believe the deeper connection, and like people, they can...
So you're saying the horse wasn't at the store but told her what to buy?
Yes. He knew exactly everything about it. So... And I've had that with people.
How is that? Explain that to me.
It has to be. I always say it has to be. I've always just – there's certain things I don't look into because I don't think I'm going to get the answer. But it has to be this animal communicates with angels, and the angels are telling him in the horse. So you know how we have barriers, like, you know, you get betrayed by a certain type of person or whatever. I don't care if the way they look or color hair or whatever. A certain person ticks you off. And all of a sudden, you kind of block them out. You don't realize you're doing it. You block them out. I believe when you let an animal completely in, and that's what happens in readings, too. Like, I call it like Shrek, like an onion. When I'm talking to a horse, when you get through all the layers and you get to the center, there's always like a giggly, fun animal. Like, usually not that serious. Same thing with us. I believe, at this point in my life, I would say, I believe God puts, our creator puts animals in our lives to reach us, reach places in us that people can't. And this person has a deep connection with their horses. I mean, she's an animal communicator. She doesn't brag about it. She doesn't tell anybody about it. But I knew she was when one time she wanted to sell this one horse. And she wanted to know what the horse thought about the new owner. And the horse hated snow. It was from California, and it just hated snow. So I said, well, let's do a fun thing. The person's on Facebook that the horse is going to, right? And she said, yes. And so I go, you look at the picture. And, like, they communicate many ways, but visuals are the best. If you picture something in your head and send it to them, they read it loud and clear. So, and it's a great example. Like, when someone's riding a horse and they get tense and they start looking at rocks and looking at things for things and the horse starts doing the same thing, they're like, what are you looking at? There's something here. So, anyway, this lady goes on Facebook and starts looking at this lady's pictures. And then she starts sending it to the horse. And I said, I'm seeing a beautiful green field with a red barn in it. And she said, that's exactly what I'm looking at. And I said, now I'm seeing a big black horse. And she goes, she has a black draft horse. And I think it was a draft horse, but it was a big black horse. And she goes, that's exactly what's on the next picture. And then all of a sudden the horse goes, oh, there's no way in hell I'm moving there. And she started laughing like heck. She said, there's like 3 feet of snow in the next picture. The horse was like, I'm not going there. I told you the snow was a deal breaker. So it was just fun. I always picture everybody has this. I always picture your spirituality like having a soft ball of energy in front of you, and it's your spirituality, and you go, or your intuition, and you go, I wonder if it would work in this situation, and try it. Like, I never in a million years thought you could communicate with an animal by phone. I've talked to cats in Dubai. I've talked to horses in Australia. I've talked to a rabbit in England. And the rabbit was an eye-opener to me because I always tell everybody, I think I have a pretty open mind. Well, when the lady wanted to talk to a rabbit, my thought was, what could a rabbit possibly say? Like, everybody knows I have a litter every 30 days. So I'm like, they want to reproduce and they want to have a carrot. Like, what? How simple?
What?
You know what I mean?
What did the rabbit say?
What I do is I put it on the back burner. So I just go, okay. I just put it in the back of my mind, and I go, when something wants to come to me with this, then I'll go with this. You know, like, all right, I'll let her know. I woke up, like, I don't know if it was the next morning or the 2 mornings after, but I remember waking up in the morning, and I know everything about this rabbit like it's mine. And I got on, it was emailing her. So I got on and emailed her, and I said, your rabbit broke the ring finger on us, it would be, the second toe in on the front right foot. And he broke it, he got it stuck in a crack in the doorway. And on the other side of the doorway is two plants. On the right is one that's succulent. I love that one. The one on the left is like, eh. And I message her that. She goes, we just brought the rabbit home from the vet. He broke that toe. We don't know where he broke it, but there is a crack in the doorway where there's a plant on each side. The one on the right, we can't get him to stop eating. And he nibbles on the left one, but he doesn't really eat it. So to me, it was mind-boggling. I looked at it as God giving me a lesson saying, you think your mind's open, but it really isn't. Expand. So it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. So I tell everybody, if I'm doing a reading for you, I pay attention to what is in the reading, because there's a lot of people out there that do what I do. And I believe that I'm supposed to learn by this also, you know.
Also, like, and I thought about it yesterday when I was messaging you, like, do you have to open that door for the communication to happen, or do you just could you just be walking around and have these thoughts come in, and you've got to learn to like block them and not deal with
well,
them?
good question. I always say it like when I messaged you the other day, I'm like, okay, so picture you if you don't have filters and you're just open to listening. Now, I believe a lot of people that have been diagnosed with things and are on medication to help them with that, they don't know how to put filters on. They don't know how to explain it, but they're overwhelmed with these thoughts and things that have come to them. Because I've had anxiety attacks, and I would say I think I've had at least 3 big ones, like big ones. Like, I got up in the morning one time, and I walked into the kitchen, and my wife was just saying, like, things we're going to do that day, like our plans for the day. And I was having a meltdown. It was like she was screaming at me, and I had all – I started crying. I looked at her and I said, thank God she loves me and understand what I was doing. But I looked and I go, please stop talking. I just can't right now. I was just like, so overwhelmed. There was nothing going on, but I was overwhelmed. So what I do is I call them filters, and the filters just make it so you don't like lose it when you're walking around. Because it's here's what it feels like. The last one I had, I was driving down the highway, and say I see your Facebook face picture. That's how I. So say I see your Facebook picture, you know. So I see your face, and I'm like, oh, okay, Brianna, what's going on? Like, I don't do this consciously. I just start going, like, just thoughts, random thoughts. And I start going, huh, that's Brianna. I wonder what's going on with her. And your angels will tell me what you're doing. And I'll be like, oh, I don't want to do that. Like, okay, stop. Push your face out. Another person's face will pop in. I'll do the same thing. It just repeats. And I start pushing out and have faster and faster and faster. And all of a sudden, I'm like, this is not pleasant. It's very, very uncomfortable. So what I do is I go, okay, guess what? I need to make some filters. So I just turn the radio all the way up. That drowns them right out. So but the filter thing, like when I do an event, when I go to a weekend event, it's always funny. Like the last time I actually told, I mean, they know I do this, but like the people picked me up at the airport in Utah. And it was my friend and her sister and brother-in-law. And and I just said to them, I'm like, so, you want me to take my filters off and just tell you anything that happens, anything that comes through? And they go, yes. So we're sitting there. It's a ball. It's fun to let go because it's like, I don't have to hold on to this anymore. And, you know, I'm weird. I say a lot of weird things, but buckle up. So we go in and we're sitting down and the girls.
I think it's awesome because if I picked you up, I'd be like, yep, say everything, all of it. Yes. I want to know.
Yeah, because it's like, it's just random things. Like they're with us all the time. So when I take
these are our angels.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Do we share angels or do you like only get your one angel or do you like
no,
is it multiple?
No. It's interesting. So like the problem I have when someone says is so and so with me, I always kind of giggle, not at the person, but it's like to me it's kind of please know that I'm not being disrespectful to anybody asked that cuz I would too. But at this point, it seems like a silly question because we're surrounded. We'd have, like, we'd be shocked if we could see. And they're not like people anymore. They're energy, so they're everywhere. Like, they're not just, like, standing in front of you. But they will manifest, like, as a single being so I can see them. But no, like, my dad would come through as a father figure for you. Or, like, if you were raised by your neighbor that was a dad, he would come through as a dad. There's no bloodlines on that side, blood on that side, family. They're all family on that side. So we are surrounded by, like, I've had people where I'm like, ask for someone, who would you like to hear from? She's like, I'd like to hear from Elvis. And I'm like, okay. Well, Elvis is showing me, you just did something with a glittery sweatshirt, I think it is, or a jacket. She goes, I have a sweatshirt from Graceland that I just folded up yesterday. And I just thought that was cool. That's the validation. Again, anything you've done the last 2 weeks, this would happen to have everything to do with him. And I said, he's sending you a dollar bill. Watch for a dollar bill. Well, like 2 days later, the lady goes in her closet and she finds this purse and she goes, I don't even know whose purse it is. I don't remember it. I don't remember even owning this thing. But inside was a dollar bill. So I just think it's fascinating. I believe our creator comes to us in all forms. I always hear him in the background, him or her. It's an energy. I just don't want to say it because it's disrespectful, but I always hear him in the background. Like when a loved one comes to you and says, I'm sending you blessings, I love you, it's always God's with them coming through. And I just find it humbling and fascinating. So, when you take the filters off, it's a wild ride. I've had animals say the weirdest things. I never believed in reincarnation. Absolutely, 1,000% believe in it now. I've seen it too many times in readings. On and on, funny things. Like I had a couple back in Massachusetts, back in New England somewhere, the East Coast, and their dog, I said, oh, there's your dog's coming through, and I believe it's in the body of the one you have, but it was a black lab. And they go, yes, we had a black lab that passed, and blah, blah, blah. And so the dog says, now animals do swear, especially if we do around them. So this dog says, where the F are my legs? Now, granted, so I'm like, what's he talking about? Well, it's a corgi this time. So he went from being a black lab with legs to a corgi with short legs.
They had a corgi alive in the lab.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that's funny. It would take all I have not
to. Oh, it was awesome. Because it threw me off when he goes, where are my legs? I'm like, what does he mean with his legs? Like, does he have legs? They're gone. They're short. So it's wild. Those are the way I call Those are the validations in the reincarnation. There's always a thread that passes through. I had a woman in California. I'm like, this horse has been with you before, but it was in a past life. You both were in a past life, and this horse wasn't your horse. You didn't own it. A guy friend of yours loaned this horse to you. I see you in armor in this with this horse. You're in armor. The horse is in armor, and you go into battle, and you both pass. And I believe reincarnation is about not fixing wrongs, more like fixing, like, unfulfilled life with this person. Like, I didn't get to have a fun time with this horse. We only saw battle together. I wish I had it as a pet type thing. So I told her this, and she goes, well, here's what's weird. This horse...
That makes sense the way you just said it like that.
I don't know if it's about fixing something we did wrong. I think it's about, like, a couple wants to have children, and they can't. So they come back in another life, and they have children together.
Unfinished business.
Yes, yeah, just to fulfill, like, the heart, you know, the soul, so you can feel like, okay, I can lay that to rest now that I've had children with this person. So that lady with the horse with the armor, she goes, well, this horse, you know, now, it isn't my horse. It is mine now, but my friend, a guy friend, gave me this horse, and the guy makes armor. This horse has had armor on it. So that's a huge, what I call a silver, like a thread. There's always a thread that gives you validations from the past.
Yeah.
So the horse is still wearing armor. Like, he's like, I've had people where, like, I see him weaving nets, being a fisherman in the past. Well, they're in the Navy this life because the ocean is just a thing that they're just drawn to. They don't know why, but they're just drawn to it. So, yeah, it could go on and on. And it's like, it just, again, I just love when you stop and say, this is how it is. Stop saying, this is how it is, and start saying, enlighten me. Things change rapidly. Like, things change. Like, your eyes just, you start seeing things in a different way. You know, like
let me ask you this. What's one of your most emotional readings?
The most emotional reading I wrote, it's a long story, but I wrote two books. The Pat Busher went out of business, so they're not published right now. But my very first book signing was down in Scottsdale. I'm sitting there, and, you know, you're supposed to talk about the book and stuff. I honestly wasn't. I'm not a big face-to-face part. I am, because I do readings and stuff, but I had live radio. I love doing it. I love being behind the scenes. I don't want people to go, that's Rob. I don't want that. Like, I just love it. Like the mailman, you know? So anyway, so I'm sitting in front of all these people, and I said, okay, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about this one reading that I did, and it was a relative of mine, and I said to her, I'll try to keep it vague. So I just said to her, she said, so they're just around us all the time? And I go, yes. And I said, watch, I'll tell you who's around you. And I said, there's a cousin coming through for you. And it's either a very feminine male, like a very soft energy male, or a very strong energy female, but it's a very soft energy. Like, it's weird. Like, if you feel someone come through like this, then you're like, it's a male, you know, or a very dominant female. If they come through like a whisper like this, it's a very soft energy. So I told her this, and I said, well, his birthday's coming up. It's this month. And she's like, I don't think it is. And I said, well, it's this month. He just kept insinuating. What happens is I tell her his birthday's this month, and she says, no. I go back to him. He goes, yes, it is. And I go, he says it is. And she goes, no, it's not. He goes, yes, it is. So I'm like, I lean towards that side, because you wouldn't believe how many times people forget things, and the angels are like, I'm telling you, and I rate it from 1 to 10. When it's a 10 and they keep on saying it is, like the angels say that, I believe what the angels are saying, and 99% of the time it's right on the money, and the person just remembers it differently. And then later they'll go, yes. So it is that. So I just kept saying it's this month. Anyways, she keeps on cutting. She cuts roses. She cuts flowers that's out in front of her house, and she puts it on his grave every year, and he wants her to know that he's in heaven, that he's at peace. And he wants her to celebrate his life. And so I'm telling these people this, and I'm sitting there, and I said, well, this relative got back to me, and she spoke to her. She's in another country, to her aunt. And the aunt said, yes, his birthday is coming up, and she cuts flowers that are right out in front of her house. I think it was in front of her house. It's a long time ago now, but cut the flowers in front of her house, and she goes down to his grave and puts the flowers on his grave every year. Well, he took his own life. He took his own life because he was gay, and he couldn't come out. And people, he was afraid of what society would, you know, just tear him apart. Aww. I started crying in front of all these people. It broke my heart. And it still does, because it's like, you can't be yourself. Death is better than, you know, taking your own life is easier than trying to come out. I'm like, that's terrible. that's just a horrible thing, a horrible, horrible thing. And I was crying for everybody. And I looked down at the ground. I couldn't look at anybody. And I look over at my wife, hoping that she was going to help me out. And she's crying. She's like, don't look at me. She's crying. And I'm like, oh, good God. And so I look up. And when I did, everybody had tears in their eyes. And it's just a sad thing. And, like, nobody should have to go through that. So what she
that
did that for
sad.
It's well, horrible.
So wait. Did he come through to you, and did he let you know that he was okay now?
He's at heaven and he's at peace. Which it's two things that get me on that one. One, well, let me finish. What happened was, she told her aunt this. So that birthday, her aunt went down and cut flowers and went down to the ocean and threw the flowers into the ocean and celebrated his life instead of going to his grave, thinking he was burning in hell for eternity for taking his own life, which is like. I mean, I get it. You know, I believe that religion came up with this because they people were taking their lives, and they're like, it's not the end. Like, try to, you know, how can we stop this? So they make it so it's I don't know. I wouldn't want people to go tempt this, like, oh, when it's not your time, you don't pass, because I don't know the whole mix. I just know that I've done a whole bunch of readings with people that are in heaven that have taken their lives. And in this case, I think it's horrific that someone would say that you know, that God, love is love. One thing I know about love, I can't say I know how God works, because then nobody does. And if you do, then you're not telling the truth, because you can assume. So, but what I can say is, I don't believe God. I know, God doesn't judge us. We judge us. We're on a learning curve. It's a long one, but it's a learning curve, you know? So
I agree. It amazes me that there are people out there that can actually just walk around and not care how they affect other people. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that you should live your life for other people and walk on pins and needles and, you know, take certain things, but like for the majority of it, there are a lot of people out there that will say some of the most heart-wrenching things and do some things. And I just,
well, I believe
I don't
that's a view into what's going on inside them. Like, I've had people try to attack me for what I do. A lot of Christians did it first. And it's because I was open to it. I was afraid of being judged, you know? So what I do is I go, oh, someone's going to judge me. So they start judging me. I mean, it's just literally the law of attraction. So, but what I found interesting was when Malachi came to me, the first angel that ever spoke to me, he didn't call me a medium. He called me a messenger. So I called myself a messenger for a bit. I never told anybody for like 5 years. There was a handful of people. That's about it. But when I did, I got every time, what's a messenger? Like, you work for FedEx? You know, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, no. And what I said was, I'm a medium. And everybody knows what that is. But in the medium, it says in the Bible that, you know, mediums talk to the dead and they're bad. Well, to me, I always say, well, it also says that we never die, that our soul lives forever. And I don't talk to anything that's not in heaven. I don't know if there is. I don't care. I don't plan on going to visit anywhere else but heaven. So I talk to heavenly beings. I do the same thing. It's just a name. So, but I've been attacked by them, and I usually now just tell them, that's your fear, not mine. I know who I'm talking to. I have no doubt. I believe God sent many people to us to relate to us, and Jesus was one that I related to. I believe he sends all different people to us through a heavenly angel, I call ones that haven't been in bodies. And it's funny because when a heavenly angel comes through, people call them guides or master guides. When they come through, they always say, they start the conversation by, I've been with you since the dawn of time, which to me, they're giving us a hint how long our soul's been around for. We've been around forever. We just chose. Yeah. I always say it's like going to Disneyland. You're like, I think I'll try that ride. That's getting into a body. I believe this is a ride. It's, some of us, is not that it's a little bumpier than others, but I believe we're experiencing being a human at this point.
This
so,
is true, though, because they say you can't experience Disney World in one day, so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you got to keep coming back and trying a different ride.
Yeah,
you got
to keep coming back and go to different rides.
Yeah. So I put this on Facebook, and I was prepared if someone said anything nasty to dump them, because I'm like, I don't care. This isn't about your opinion. I'm just telling you what happened in a reading.
I'm glad.
Walk away with whatever you want.
I'm at that point in my life. I'm like, you know what?
Because
I'm just going to delete and block.
Well, I can only tell them what I see. You know what I like to say, look, you come up with your own conclusion, but figure out how the heck did the horse know she weighed 122 pounds? You figure that out. I don't know how to do it, but that lady let me share that. So with this one woman, this energy comes through, and he says, I'm her master guide. So my conversation with this master guide is, I don't call you, I don't tell this lady that, but I'm having this conversation with her. I'm going, I don't call you guys master guides. I call you like heavenly angels. And he goes, well, I'm her master guide. And I'm like, yeah, I don't call you guys that. And he's like, well, she does. And I go, you call me master guide? And she goes, yes. And I go, oh, okay. Well, I'm going to address him because it's her angel. So I go, okay, master guide, you know, what do you want to tell him? Well, all of a sudden, this master guide turned into a one being that was male and female. And I told her, I said, interesting. Your master guide is a male and a female in one being that wears goth. And she goes, oh, I'm not surprised at all. I thought she was going to go, like, what? And she goes, I'm not surprised at all. I wear goth and I'm bisexual. And I'm not going to. And when I went back to him, like, it paused. And I'm like, this isn't your master guide. This is your creator coming through. And I mean, I could, like, and I know a lot of people like, and I think it's funny because, you know, the news only puts people that say, God told me to do it, something wrong, something bad. You know, they never put on, God said to do this, and it worked. You know, like, Jesus came through for this one lady one time. I charge for readings. I felt really guilty about that at one for years. I did 10 years of free readings because I was like, this is a gift. I can't charge people for this. Well, I did so many readings one week, I lost my voice. I call it the Week of Marys. Every single angel that came through had to do with a Mary. I just thought it was fascinating. And, yeah, it was weird, you know. So I was shoeing horses at that time. And
well, yeah, no, time is money. You got to charge for your time.
And that's what I came down to. It's still a struggle with it. I'd love to do it for free. But so what happened was when an angel comes to me and sets up a reading or tells me to get a hold of a person, then it's free. And what's weird is they always pay me, the angel, somehow. And like, free hay, something that I wanted.
Well,
I get
okay,
for free.
So whoa, I got another question. I'm sorry, these questions.
Yes.
Hold on, these questions.
No, you're good.
So hold on.
Fire away.
So, let's say that we just became friends on Facebook and we don't really know each other, and I didn't reach out to do a podcast. Let's say that, you know, we just became friends, and let's say like a month down the road, you had an angel come through that would want to speak to me.
Yep.
That would be different than somebody calling you up and going, hey, I want to schedule for a reading. Do you guarantee to be able to speak to somebody when they schedule it, or no? Can you not? Can you, like, are you on their angel's time, or are they on your time?
Oh, angels. Well, what happens, I'll give you a scenario. So what happens is I see a woman on Facebook. She has a son that's kind of special needs, and definitely special needs. Really wonderful child, but like 6 or 8 years old. She put on Facebook that she has breast cancer. So I start praying right away for her because I'm like, oh, my God, this kid needs her. This is his mom. Like, that's his world. Like, you know, she needs to, like, please stay here for her, you know. And all I heard was her angel say, set up a reading for her. So I messaged her and I said, hey, your angels want me to set up a reading for you. Are you open to that? And they're like, yes, absolutely. So I get on the phone with her. And what I saw was, and I love seeing this, like, I see Jesus. Picture them both facing me. And Jesus has got his left arm around her shoulders, around her back, and his right hand's on her shoulder. So they're both facing me. One hand, his left hand is on her left shoulder, his right hand's on her right shoulder, so they're facing me. And I said, and I told her that, and I said, wow, Jesus is telling you that, like, he's letting you know that he understands and he's going to help you through this. And I believe this is his way of saying, I don't know if you're going to go through chemo, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I know he's going to be with you every step of the way. And as soon as I say that, it changes from a full-body Jesus to a portrait of Jesus. What I watch is changes. They're trying to tell me something. So I go, wow, that's weird. He just changed from a full body, like standing next to you, to just a portrait. There's a portrait in the room with you, isn't it? And she starts crying. She goes, I'm looking at a portrait of Jesus right now. And I'm like, that, I just love that. So then he says, well, I was playing checkers with your son yesterday. And she goes, I was at his school yesterday. He was out in the playground. There's a big checker pattern on the concrete. And he's out there by himself talking to someone playing checkers. I think that's just mind-boggling. I'm like, okay, explain that to me, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's no explanation for that. Like, how would I even know that? You know, like, and that's what so when they come through with validations, what I'm asking your angels is, even your animals, give me a validation. So one, like, one in a billion odds of guessing it. And so one, they'll let their guard down and know I'm not making this stuff up. And two, lets me know that I always, like a friend called it, my cheese hasn't slipped off my cracker. Like, I'm still
right.
On the... Yeah, because you're saying stuff that is very out there, you know, like you're on the edge of like a really weird area. So, but I don't know. I just I love what I do, and I've even had a brother of a person one time that he had taken his life, and he set up. It was in a group, and I said, your brother's coming through, but he wants me to set up a private reading for you. So, you know, when I set it up, she has all guilt. She's thinking she has to pay me. And I'm like, she says, I don't have the money. And I said, I'm telling you, don't worry about it. Please. The arrangers want me to set it for you. I don't, when they do it, I don't care. I'll do it for you. And I said, watch, he'll pay me back. I don't know how. I don't, that's not why I do it, but watch, it always happens. It's not that pretty wild. And it's vast and it's not ending. That's why I love this, because there's no like, not two animals or loved ones come through the same. There's always some different new thing that comes through.
Have you ever freaked somebody out too much where they, like, just ran away? Like, did you ever, like, get real?
Only person I had do that was a man who was on the phone. And I believe that when someone said, I don't normally pursue anybody. I love the Long Island media. I think she's wonderful. But I feel it intrusive going up to people. So I always say to the angels, their angels, when they're ready, let me know. And I believe that's, I don't know, it's just me. I'm just not in the face person. But I've had a guy one time set up a reading. And as soon as he got on the phone.
Well, I could see the difference, yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, you know. But I also believe the people that she goes to, Long on Medium, I believe the people she goes to are open. Like, she's drawn to them. You know what I mean? Like, like for me, one lady, it was where I was shopping, and I walked up to her, and she didn't know what I did. And I looked at her, I go, I know this sounds weird. But she knew me, you know. And I shot her horses. And I just said, look, I know this sounds weird, but this is what I do. And the reason why I'm telling you this is your grandfather standing right behind you, and he wants to tell you that he loves you and that I'd like to set up a reading for you. And she goes, absolutely. Can you go out in the car and call me? And I go, no, I'll do it tonight. Like, he wanted it right then and there. And her grandfather came through, and he just was supporting. She had a lot of family stuff going on, and he was just telling that he loves her. And I said, what's San Diego have to do with you or your grandfather? And she goes, nothing. And I go, he's sending you a dozen yellow roses. And she goes, everybody goes, how are they going to do that? I'm like, just watch. I don't know, but watch. Literally, like, the next afternoon, she messages me, and she goes, so this is what happened today. I get a knock on the door this morning, and she said, it's my neighbor. He was out in San Diego visiting his son in the Marines, and he has a dozen yellow roses in his hands, and he said, I walked by these flowers, and I thought you should have them. And she said, the first thing I said was, do you know Rob? And he goes, who? And she goes, never mind. She thought I might be playing a joke on him. Like, I would never in a million years do that. I honor my gift. So her grandfather was sending her flowers. This guy didn't know why he bought her flowers. I believe angels whisper in our ears and say, hey, bring these flowers back to this girl. This will mean the world to her. And she really needed to know God was around her at that point. She was going through a lot. So this is weird stuff. Like I said, it's just odd stuff. And I love it. I'm a junkie for it. I love the look on people's face. I did a reading back in Virginia for this guy. And for him and his, I think it was one kid or two kids with his horse. And, you know, there was a lot of cool validations. But when we went to finish and I went to walk away, they goes, one more thing, the horse says. And I go, what? And he goes, best $750 you ever spent. And the guy's eyes just about popped out of his head. And he goes, that's how much we spent on him. I love the look on people's face. The one guy I was saying, I got on the phone with him, and his grandfather came through for him.
I bet you turned a lot of non-believers into believers over just little things like that. Because, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be open to it and be like, okay, I hear you. But then to experience it and, like, you know, hear you say something like what you just said, the 750, like, what? Like, how in the world would you ever even know that?
Yeah. Well, and what happens, too, is here's my belief, because it's like, why doesn't everybody want a reading? Why doesn't everybody get a 10 reading? Like, I believe they get what they can handle. And I also know that some people and animals resonate more than others. Like, I've seen people that are so full of themselves that say they're mediums. I don't know how they could be, because there's nothing humble about them. But they are. So maybe they just draw a different crowd. I drive an old beat-up pickup truck. My wife has a minivan. They giggle when I pull up in a minivan. I don't care what people think about what I drive. It's not what I drive. It's what I can do is what I like. But they might think I'm a fake because if he pulls up in an old beater minivan or an old beater pickup truck, he should be pulling up in a brand new Corvette. And it's like, that's your opinion. That's your ideas of what I should be. I don't care what I look like. That's why I like being like I had live radio and stuff, because I liked it because it's not about what I look like. I don't care if I'm wearing raggedy clothes. I'm still doing the same thing. It's not what I am, it's what I can do, you know. So.
Well, what? Let me ask you this. Which animal seems to come through the most? Like, which one's the most friendly when it comes to the animal?
You know, it's interesting. If you took a deer, a wild deer, and you had it in your yard, and you pet it every day, and you took care of it, and it was your pet, and you talked to it and took care of it, that deer would come through just like the house cat or the house dog. So I've found that it's how you talk to them. Now, they do have their own frequency. Like, I've talked to people before, and this is weird. Like, I'll be talking to someone, and I go, you have a tropical, some kind of tropical animal, don't you? And they're like a parrot, you know, or whatever. But I'm like, or I'll say, you have a very small, like, their energy just feels different. And I'm like, this isn't a horse. Like, when I say you have a horse, a dog, a goat, and a cat, and you want to talk to all of them, I separate them by their energies. A horse that have one energy, a dog that have a different energy, a cat. And I line them up in front of me, like picture them in front of me standing here. And I just want to know which one is drawing me, speaking the loudest. The one that has the loudest energy, the highest frequency, I'll go to that one first. Otherwise, it's like trying to talk to one with the opera in the background or the rock band playing. It's like, I need to go to this one first. Like, I was doing a reading for this woman back in, another one back on the East Coast somewhere. And I'm doing this reading for her, and literally I hear in the background, hey, out here, I got to talk to you. And I'm like, you have a horse out in the back pasture that wants to talk to me. It sounds like they're yelling. And I'm laughing because I'm like, it's just funny to hear him going, hey, mister. So I go, she goes, that's my mom's horse. So I go, what do you want to say? He goes, I want some more corn. And she goes, we don't feed corn. And he goes, yes, you do. I go, yes, you do. She goes, no, we've never fed him corn. He doesn't know what corn is. I go, he knows what corn is. I don't know where he knows it from, but he knows what corn is. It's corn on the cob. So I hear her go, wait. She goes, Mom. And I hear her mom go, yeah. She goes, have you ever fed, I'm going to call him Fred. She goes, have you ever fed Fred corn? She goes, yes, we used to get him corn in the cob. This girl didn't even know it, you know, so it's just funny. Yeah, so they just yell from the background, hey, I got something to say. Minis and miniature donkeys and miniature horses are so funny. They usually start out with, hey, I have rights, you know, like they're being ignored. Aww. I have rights,
that
you know.
That makes me think of, like, Shrek's friend, donkey.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I have rights. I'm not invisible. But they all have different frequencies. I've talked to, like, I don't make lists for ego or anything. I like lists saying it's really cool. I've talked to snakes, gerbils, guinea pigs.
What would a snake, whoa, what would a snake say? I don't, what?
The latest one was I think it was an albino, what is it called? I don't know what kind of, I don't know snake. I, like I said, my IQ drops. I forget so much when I start doing readings and talking about spirituality. It was a I can't remember it. But anyways, the snake. I was at her house doing a group reading, and the snake was right behind me. I am not a snake person, so I have to kind of get rid of that feeling of it's a snake and it's like 2 feet behind me, and he just literally says, "I go." He's complaining about. he was complaining about the mice that she had. He goes, that's a dark mice. That's a dark mouse. It's a dark-colored mouse. And it wasn't really about the taste that it was different. It just I've some animals that are like OCD. It's not that it was different tasting or anything like that, that it was just different. Because that's what I'm asking him. What has changed in your life? Give me something to tell Mom. So she said, well, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, well, the place I normally get the mice from was out, so I got these new ones from a different place. And, yes, they are darker-colored. And it was just a simple thing like that. Then her ferret started chiming in saying, I want the green blocks, the ones that you chew on. I need green blocks. Well, she ran out. She didn't have any. And those are the funny things when they come through. They're like, or a horse will complain about, the type of shampoo they're using or conditioner. One horse is like, don't use that cheap crap on me. You like that cheap dollar store stuff, the conditioner. And the person starts laughing. She goes, that's where I got it. It was a dollar store human conditioner. All kinds of animals. It's really cool. They all communicate differently, and it's always like a frequency. It's like you just feel like, say you're on the phone with me and you hear someone talking in the background, and it's a woman, and you'd be like, okay, that's not Rob. There's someone else talking there. I can hear it, like a mumble. And then when you focus on it, because when I talk to an animal, I literally picture like a flashlight on that. My energy's on that animal. Otherwise, I'll hear all of them. So you really have to push everybody out of that bubble, and you just put you and that horse in that bubble, or you and that cat, you and that dog. Now, if they break through that bubble, it means it's the it can be the pecking order. Like if you're talking to a horse that isn't the high on the pecking order, when the boss horse steps in, they'll just interrupt. They just cut right in. And I go, this is a different horse. This is the boss. But it's
or do like, you even have like bosses of the hat, like for the herd? Like if like let's say. Like, well, for me, like, okay, so if I have a horse, a dog, and a cat, and they want to talk to you, it'll show you which one will come. You'll feel that energy of which one it would be.
Yeah, and it can be, like, say, even if you have the boss horse, but he doesn't have nothing to say. But the court jester, I love talking to court jesters, the horses that are just goofy. They just crack me up. They're always funny. It's just crazy.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. So same thing with them, you know, dropping, and I shod for many years, and I figured he used that to get me around to different people to do readings and get in people's lives. I honestly see animals at this point in my life looking back going, why communicate? I mean, I get it. Animals are having problems or whatever, but why is the big thing about animals? At that point, God was using animals for me to build my faith in myself. I went to a person, she's like a psychiatrist, the state, was shoeing her horses. Me and Linda pulled up. I apprenticed with her for a year. So me and Linda pull up. Linda goes with her and takes a horse separate, and I go to this other spot to shoe this one horse. So I go and shoe it. Now, Linda told me she was a state psychiatrist, so I'm like, okay. Linda used to tell everybody about what I did, and I wasn't ready to share. So I'm always like, stop telling people. She did it anyways. And, I get why she was driven to. So I get through shoeing the horse, and Linda comes walking over with that lady. And the lady looks at me, and she goes, so Linda says you talk to animals. And I'm like, oh, good God. They're like, I can't believe it, you know. So I'm looking at her. I know I turned beet red. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, what does my horse have to say? So I'm like, you have to get rid of – yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm like, oh, I don't like
you. She didn't try to, like, convince you that you didn't do it as a psychiatrist. Nope. She immediately said, what did my horse say?
Yeah. So I'm like, crud. So, I'm on the spot. I'm turning beet red, and I'm like, so this could end two ways. The guy's coming running around the corner with a long-sleeve shirt that ties in the back for me, and I wind up going to a special place. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm like, I call it my neutral place. You have to drop all your preconceived nervousness or anxious or anything. So I'm like, I look at the horse and he goes, I want the other half of my breakfast. And the lady turns and looks at me and she goes, I gave him half his breakfast and said, well, if you're good for Rob, then I'll give you the other half. So it was just cool. I was like, that's just cool.
How long have you, can you say that you've been doing this?
What I say is I became aware of what was going on in 1999. Like, literally, the horse that, when that lady spoke to my wife, with my wife brought her three horses over to talk to her, she went to my wife's Palomino Paint, and she was talking to him, and the lady turned to my wife and said, he says your farrier doesn't know what he's doing. She goes, who's your farrier? She goes, my husband. And she's like, oh, my God. And she goes, no, you don't understand. They have he had a rivalry thing going with me. He was like, this is my mom. You can't have her, you know. And so he was home. And I was getting ready to shoe him, and he was in his pen, and I walked up to him, and being me, I took the shoe and put it on his forehead, and I go, it's time to shoe you, Jackpot. Is this where the shoe goes? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, you jerk, you know? So I turned to walk away. I'm going to go into the house to use the bathroom, and I get halfway there, and I literally hear, like, someone speaking, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I just stopped in my tracks, like, wait. And I just turn around, and he's got his ears up, and he's looking at me like he was talking to me. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty wild. And it just started from there. And it just, so it, since 1999 is when it's, like, fall of 1999 is when it started.
Well, I think that's really cool that you do what you do. And I'm glad that you took the time to talk to me about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's, but I do want to ask you, not this, you can put this on or not. I don't, is your dad passed?
No.
All right. There's a father figure coming through. Are you married? Is your father-in-law passed?
No, I'm divorced. Right. No. My.
There's a strong fatherly figure coming through. Now, what I can say is if your grandfather was your father figure in your life, then he's coming through. But there's a father figure coming through.
That's weird. Yeah, no, I mean, my dad's dad passed away a long time ago, but we weren't, like, super close or anything like that. I don't.
Yeah. Is your dad's birthday
alive?
Is his birthday around now?
My dad?
Yeah.
His was in January.
Yeah, I don't know. And again, I always say, I didn't set this up to do a reading, but there's definitely a strong father energy figure. Like, now I always watch for when I keep feeling a dad for you. It can be someone saying, I want to talk about dad. Like if your mom's passed and she's saying, I want to talk about dad or send a message to dad, they'll start focusing on him. But all I can say is it keeps coming through. An older male that keeps coming through. Feels like a father figure. Now, I always say father figure, too, is an older male definitely coming through. He's an older male around you.
That's weird. I'm going to have to think about who it is.
When they salute, it means they're in a war uniform or they're in military or police or something like that, but they're saluting.
My Grandfather, my dad's dad was in the military.
Green uniform? Army, it must
be,
right?
He was in the military. Yeah, he was in the military. He was, like, in Pearl Harbor when Pearl Harbor happened.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So whenever they come through, like, they just jump through, I always like to ask why, you know, like, so it's his birthday around now. Did he pass around this time? That kind of stuff. Is your birthday around this time? But that's normally a reason why they come through. It's not random. It's only we get blessed if we're lucky if we get to, you know why. But pennies from heaven, pennies from heaven, pennies from heaven, he keeps saying. Is there a penny right in front of you?
No, but I've been carrying pennies in my pocket.
There you go. There you go. And you don't know why, right?
No, I don't know why, because I literally have been carrying like 5 or 6 pennies in my pocket for like a couple weeks.
Yeah, and that's what, like I always say, that's random things that happen during readings, and it's like a couple weeks ago we started saying, you should carry pennies, you should carry pennies. You know, like, oh, look, a penny, I'm going to put it in my pocket. Now, what I always like to do is, say you have 5 pennies. I like to go, what does the 5 have to do with Grandpa? Were you 5 when he passed? Did he pass in the 5th month, May? It was your birthday in May. There's usually a number. Like, I had a person one time, their dad passed away. And I said, he said he's messing with your coffee cups. And they're like, he does. The coffee cups keep moving up on top of this shelf. And I go, how many coffee cups move? And they can't remember the number offhand, but it was like 2. And I go, what's the 2 have to do with dad? Was he born in February? And they said yes. So it's like, again, they resonate, like, it's almost like they're identifying themselves in code, but not. Because I know our soul knows. It's just a matter of our body figures it out. Our soul knows everything. We're totally connected with them. And the things that break through the barrier of our soul to our human existence, our human body, is the things that, like, that's what I do as an interpreter, kind of, you know. So, yeah, Grandpa's just wishing you, if it's not your birthday, why did you just get a gift?
Who just got a gift? He did?
You. Did someone just gift you something?
No, not that.
Did you just wrap a present?
Me?
Yeah.
I did not wrap a present. No.
Did you just move wrapping paper?
No, but I do. But I do embroidery and custom work, and all of my stuff is shipped out. So I do deal with a bunch of boxes, not wrapping paper. They're not gifts. They're orders.
Watch for like a birthday order or something weird like that. Because it's literally, I'm hearing the song, Wrap It Up, I'll Take It. It's something to do with wrapping paper.
Interesting.
And watch for random things, like the flowers. Watch for it randomly show up. Like, hey, this is going to be a birthday gift for someone or something like that. And his is weird. Like I said, when I go from 0 to 10, 1 to 10, energy-wise, the wrapping paper is a 10. So the only thing I could say is I might misinterpret they're talking about, like, the things you, like, wrapping paper, you'd wrap these items up that you make, and you just ordered a whole bunch of it, or you just ran out, or something changed, you changed vendors or something like that. It could be that, because I keep seeing rolls of wrapping paper.
Rolls of wrapping paper, and that was a gift. Whatever it is a gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is cool that you do this, because I would be, like, mind-boggling myself for hours on trying to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I always say is, don't, like, just put on the back burner and just go, So, to me, it could be a gift like this. Let's just do another scenario. You buy, like rolls of paper that you wrap these things that you make in, right? And you just switch vendors, or they just had a drop in price. It would be a gift. You got it cheaper. The key thing would be this wrapping paper. Now, I'm seeing it as like Christmas paper or birthday wrapping paper, but it could just be plain brown wrapping paper like you put in with the packages. But if you go into your where you have all this stuff and you find it on the floor and it got knocked over or something weird happened with it, watch for something odd to happen with that. If that's, you know, just kind of be aware of the weird things happening. A lot of weird things happen around readings and after readings, like the pennies. You know,
yeah,
like
that
just,
is super weird that you said anything about the pennies, because I've been picking up, like, I've been carrying these 5 pennies for a couple of weeks now. I've just been carrying them.
And see, I see it as the signs that they send us have an energy attachment to it. So, like, you know, you walk by pennies your whole life, and all of a sudden you're like, I need to get that one. It's because they put it there. It has their energy on it. I mean, they gift us stuff all the time. They just send us stuff. But
and that's how
big...
you can tell what's important, like what's, like, you could, so you're saying you could hear or get these signs of things that maybe have an energy level of 1 to 2 compared to, like, what you said, 10. 10 up is really important.
Yes. A 10 would be that I'm very close to what they're saying. Not meaning like it means more to you or not. It just means I am so close. Like I did this reading one time for this woman. She was an attorney, and I'll never forget this reading because she was in person. And I said, Grandpa's coming through, and he says you just bought a throw rug. She says, no, I didn't. So I go back to Grandpa, and he goes, yes, she did. So I look at her, I go, Grandpa says you just bought a throw rug. She goes, no, I didn't. I go back to Grandpa, he goes, yes, she did. And this is a 10. I'm holding my ground. He keeps on saying yes, and I'm going to say. So I kept saying this, and she was getting mad, like mad, because I wouldn't stop. I just kept saying, I'm like, think about this. Grandpa says you bought a throw rug. She goes, no, I didn't. And he goes, yes, she did. And she goes, wait, I just bought one from my condominium. I'm like, it's people have I can't remember his name. Another psychic calls it psychic amnesia. I've seen it over and over. It is bizarre. I get it. I don't know. I've never had a reading done for me like that. So I had a woman one time. I was like, your brother comes through and he's saying you just you're working with a DC system, like solar lights or something like that. You know, like outside light. I don't know. It's DC wiring. It's not AC. And she's like, no. I'm like, did you see your brakes in your car? She goes, no. So everything was no for about 40 minutes. So what I do is when it's about 40 minutes or a half hour into it, everything is a no. It doesn't make sense. There's only one thing that'd be going on. I'm off, she is off, or it's just God's timing. So I just go, okay, well, I'll just set up another reading for in a couple weeks. So I set up reading up in a couple weeks. And the only reason I remember them two things that I said to her is, I don't remember stuff. I mean, I remember a lot of stuff in readings, but I didn't remember this. So I got on the phone with her and I said, your brother's coming through. And he said you changed all four brakes in your vehicle. She goes, you said that last time, and I didn't in my primary vehicle. I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Holy cow.
I'm like, I didn't say primary or secondary. It said that did you just change the brakes in your vehicle? And she goes, I did. And I go, I'm seeing wiring. Did we talk about DC wiring before? She goes, yes. And you know what? I'm wiring what the vehicle she has is a big van, and she's wiring it for like a camper. She's putting in a solar system. That's DC wiring. It's DC, not AC, like a house. So it's just timing. I think that some people come on and they expect like so-and-so is going to come through with this. So-and-so is going to come through with this. And that's all they repeat in their head, and they don't listen to what else I'm saying, like the pennies in your pocket type thing.
Right, right. You
know? And that's what they're teaching us. Yeah, well, that's what they're teaching us. It's like I believe our angels are constantly trying to teach us, stop telling me how I'm going to come through and just open your mind up and let me come through the way I want to come through. Because like having an open mind is a very important thing in spirituality. If you think it's going to come through a certain way, I can guarantee they're going to come through different the next time. You know, same thing with animals. It's like, and the one thing you try to get rid of is, how can I be doing this? This can't be happening. Those thoughts shut you down hard. So right. They're self-limiting, you know. So, anyways, I know I talk a lot, so I don't know if you have any questions or not.
Yeah, no, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I mean, like, it's been eye-opening to just kind of see how, you know, someone got to this point and, you know, I don't even think there's a question to ask of, you know, who's gifted and who's not. I mean, it's either God choosing you to be able to do this or not.
Well, here's what's interesting, right? I believe everybody does what I do. I know they do. If you have a soul, you do what I do. The only difference is your human limitations. Like, I learned as I went, the more I could let go of, one, how people thought of me, and I can't control what they think. I got to let that go. Performing. I don't even know what I'm going to say until I get. I call it getting on the stage. I don't know what's going to happen until I talk to someone, how it's going to go.
Right.
I've had people that set up readings for their dogs, and they get on the phone. The only thing I talk about the whole time was their mom coming through the whole time. Well, it was the mom's dog. You know, she came through. So, but I believe that I've done intuition classes, and it's awesome to watch the look on people's face. You know, we are creators. We're very good creators. You know, and my wife and I work very hard on creating just peace in our life. I don't want chaos. I don't want drama. But yeah,
nobody wants that. Trust me.
No. Well, but believe it or not, some people do. They feed on it. Like I've seen it. Like I've seen people where I'm like,
oh, yeah, you know what? I take that back.
Yeah. You know, they get up in the morning and angry is their caffeine. They get up and they're mad. And if I always say, if you have two pieces of paper in front of you, if like the law of attraction, I know it's fact. So if you have two pieces of paper in front of you and you have a list of everything that pisses you off today or a list of everything that brings you peace, whatever you start writing on, you're always going to find more. You're just going to keep going. So it's like, stop looking for the stuff that makes you angry. But they feed on it. Like, but there's also more to it. I did a reading for a woman one time that she had debilitating anxiety attacks, like debilitating, and she was in her early 20s. And I go, that's just different. I'm like, something's not right here. So I go, and I didn't tell her I was doing this, but angels don't do time. So I just put my left finger up in the air, my index finger, and I take my right index finger, I put it next to it, and I just go, when did this start? And I start spreading them apart, and I heard five. I go, 5 years old? You were 5 years old when you started having debilitating anxiety attacks? I'm like, oh, wait, child version. So I go, this is the scenario I'm seeing. You're 5 years old. You have a child version of anxiety attack with the and the whole thing going. And I said, mom and dad are workaholics. They love you to pieces, but they're workaholics. When you had your anxiety attack, they dropped everything they were doing and came to you and gave you love and attention. So having anxiety attacks equals love and attention. So you're programmed into, like, I just have to have this, and I'll get love and attention. Oh, honey, it's okay. And she goes, both my parents are psychiatrists. So how else would you get their attention? So we all feed on that. We all do that. Like, so what is running in the background for all of us that equals love and attention? Me, it was fixing broken things. I like fixing broken mechanical things because I got love and attention when I was a kid. So I had to change that about 10 years ago. Like, okay, I like fixing broken things mentally-wise. I like using my brain to fix things. But love and attention comes to me freely. Think about that person that's upset and sad all the time. What do people do? Why are you so sad? It's okay. Everything's going to be okay. It means it equals love and attention. Yeah. I'm not saying they're not sad. I'm just saying that I believe that we run out of things with that energy. Like, it doesn't serve you anymore. And you're like, okay, I need to let this go. You know, right. This isn't serving me anymore. I need to let go of the anger. I need to let go of the frustration. I need to let go of the anxiety because it doesn't help me anymore. It's physically affecting me. I need to let it go. And I go, well, change it to love and attention comes to me freely.
Well, I think it's awesome that you have this gift, and it's good. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And I think it's super cool that you do it and you're honed in on it. And I'm excited to see where it takes you.
It's been taking me all over the place.
Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about, lady?
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been an interesting ride, and I just kind of just go where, like, I believe that I don't advertise and stuff. I believe that God will put who needs me in their life, and I'll be in their life. It's as simple as that. You know, it's